Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. LSU wrapped up its first scrimmage of fall camp on Saturday with the Tigers going inside Tiger Stadium for the first time of fall camp. And it was really one dominated by the defense. LSU's number one offense, Max Johnson, mustered about 125-something yards of passing, whereas Garrett Nussmeier certainly won the day, so to speak, as the quarterbacks go. And we're going to get into all that and why with Matt Bruni, who is our newest writer on Go 24/7. So welcome, Matt, to the podcast. We've worked together before at covering SMU, and he was covering North Texas. He got that site off the ground. And so a big Baton Rouge welcome to Matt Bruni joining Go 24/7.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, man. That was a great intro. Like you said, I mean, we've talked before. We've done a couple podcasts before with the SMU and UNT sites. But getting over here to Baton Rouge, now I think this is my third week over here. And so we're about 2 weeks into practice camp at this point. So I'm excited to keep it going and continue to add what I can to this site.
And if you haven't been keeping track on go247.com, first of all, check us out. For the next day or so, 75% off annual subscriptions to go247.com, about $28, $29 for the entire year of Go24/7. And you can catch Matt and all of his work, adding in to what myself, Sonny Shipp, Shay Dixon are all doing over there. And Matt is also building our YouTube channel. So if you haven't checked that out, subscribe. And we're posting all sorts of player interviews and breakdowns and things like that on there, and are going to expand it as the season goes. So enough of the housekeeping. Let's jump right in. And I was talking with Matt before the podcast, and you know, what were we going to talk about? And well, it's pretty much what we've been talking about all summer. And that's LSU's defensive line is really, at least on paper and early on in these fall camp practices and scrimmage now, they dominated and they really got after the quarterbacks on Saturday. And Matt, you know, you've got a chance to see him in person now. This is a group that's as physically impressive as I've seen since I've been covering LSU, and it looks like they're poised for big things this year.
Yeah, the funny thing is we go to the media, availability for practices as much as we can, every day we can, and the defensive line is the farthest away from us, from the media, right? And so we're like, all right, receivers, quarterbacks over here, running backs we can see, defensive backs we can see, you know, offensive line linebackers are kind of far, but you can still see them a little bit. Defensive line is like all the way on the opposite corner pretty much, and yet we still can hear Coach Orgeron from the opposite side, probably about 120 plus yards away, and you're just like, oh, all right, that's Coach O, and he's ripping into them and he's getting coaching them up. So and then I don't need binoculars, you know, I'm not that old, but I just, you know, squint over there and see some of the drills. And I'm like, okay, yeah, Andre Anthony looks great. Ali Gay looks great. You go down the list, BJ Ojulari looks amazing. And hearing Coach O on after the first scrimmage, just talk about how impressed he was by the defensive line and how much they dominated that scrimmage really caught me off guard. Cause usually a lot of times from coaches, you don't get too much from them after the first scrimmage. But one thing from my first few weeks talking to Coach O, it's just been like, he is very honest and he doesn't really pull too many punches about things. And he's really upfront with this team and the media. And so for him to say the defense line basically dominated the scrimmage was more than enough to confirm everything that we've heard, everything we've seen. And so now I'm looking at this defense line like, all right, are we talking top five in the country? Are we talking top 10 in the country? I don't know exactly how good they're going to be, but the standard, the expectations are there.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned the guys on the edge there, and then you add in, you know, Neil Farrell, who had a great day. We talked with him earlier this week. You know, Mason Smith is continuing to turn heads. Joe Evans had a good day. it just seems like they can just go 2-3 deep at that position. And, you know, when even with a veteran offensive line like LSU has, you know, they're still working in Cam Wire to get those reps in place of Dare Rosenthal now. And Chason Hines has been out. But still, I mean, this is a group that has lived up to the expectations so far in camp. And on the flip side, you know, now if you're the offensive line, you've got to, you know, you took your first lumps in the scrimmage, which defense kind of, you know, sometimes seems to be ahead of the offenses in first scrimmages. But now you've got to turn the corner and bounce back with the next scrimmage coming up in just a couple days here.
Yeah. And another thing is the defense was not at a full strength either, right? We know Glenn Logan has been down out for a bit. The secondary was pretty depleted. You know, a lot of players not playing there. And so for the defense to still come away as the far and away victors of that scrimmage, I don't want to say it's an indictment on the offense, but the offensive line definitely, it leaves a lot more questions than I was hoping that we were going to be asking at this point. I was hoping at this point we were just going to be like, all right, the offensive line, solid. We know what they are. We can move on to the weapons that this offense has. But the offensive line is still going to be in question for me, at least, going into the second scrimmage and probably well beyond that going into the UCLA game. That's going to be where I'm probably going to have to start earning my trust, I think, towards the end of this camp.
Yeah, and Max Johnson, you know, LSU starting quarterback, talked about, you know, communication up front. He wanted to kind of see that improve, which was a pretty honest answer from Max, who quite honestly doesn't give up too much in interviews. But these two quarterbacks, Max Johnson and Garrett Nussmeier, had kind of different days in a way. You know, Max Johnson didn't really have a ton of yards, at least from what we, you know, were told by Ed Ogeron. But Garrett Nussmeier really put on a show, and you watched them pretty intently on Monday's practice, and you kind of got a look of what you know, these two guys can do, and we know a good bit about what Max can do, and he's certainly improved enough going into fall camp that I don't think he's a worry. But you know, Garrett Nussmeier is quietly becoming a storyline of fall camp as well.
Garrett Nussmeier's, I mean, just his kind of raw ability has been really impressive to me. His arm strength is really impressive. I mean, I think there's a lot he can learn as far as ball placement goes and as far as being set on particular touch throws that Max Johnson is ahead of him in. But as far as just slinging it, I mean, Garrett Nussmeier can really throw the ball. And so I've been impressed with that. And I think that's going to bode well for this team, that if Max Johnson misses a play or misses a drive or something, I trust Garrett Nussmeier to go out there and not completely screw up. And I mean, he's a high four-star guy for a reason. I mean, this is a guy we knew was going to come in and be extremely talented and be extremely competitive. And Max Johnson, albeit should be the starter, Garrett Nussmeier deserves that we at least look at him like, okay, he's not just, you know, some freshman coming in here without a lot of expectations. We should expect Garrett Nussmeier to be a capable backup quarterback, even though he is a true freshman here. Max Johnson, though, like you said, in the scrimmage, he didn't put up great numbers. I'm going to continue to kind of put some of that on the offensive line. But, you know, the receivers against basically the second and third string and fourth string defensive backs also, I mean, they should be able to dominate that. We didn't get to see the scrimmage, you know, but we heard about it. So there's a lot of questions about the offense that still linger, but the quarterback position is something I have a little bit more faith in than I feel like other people might.
Yeah. And scrimmages, you know, especially the first one, you got to take them, I think, with a grain of salt. And like you said, there was a lot of injuries in the secondary. And so you probably wanted to see a little bit more in terms of, you know, again, well, this is all stuff we're hearing and things like that. But, you know, one player who did kind of make a name for himself on Saturday was Brian Thomas Jr. And we're hearing more and more about him. He was able to put up some yardage, and Kayshawn Boutte had some few opportunities. You know, I would think they're being rather careful with him, you know, being who he is and how he finished the 2020 season. But on the defensive backfield, I mean, you had only Darren Evans and Lloyd Cole really getting the snaps. You know, you have had Eli Ricks and Derek Stingley Jr. out. Dwight McLovin's out. Demarius McGee was banged up. Radar Jones banged up. You know, on the injury front, LSU, we've got, you know, we're monitoring some guys that are, you know, day to day. But this week, Ty Davis Price returned to practice, so he'll enter the mix even more with that running back room with John Emery, Corey Kiner, Armani Goodwin, and then Eli Ricks, Radarius Jones, and Demaryius McGee were all back at practice on Monday, whereas Dwight McLaughlin still out, and Derek Stingley, I believe, still out. And then you had Chason Hines on the offensive line who was still out. So Anthony Bradford will continue to get reps there. That is, you know, from what we've heard, just seems to be, you know, for the most part camp injuries. But, you know, one player who's, you know, practicing in a position group that is at full speed right now is Mike Jones Jr., the Clemson linebacker transfer. And, you know, at times we haven't heard that much about him, but we did get to talk with him, which was kind of surprising, quite honestly, because he's yet to play for LSU. But we talked to them earlier in camp, and, you know, he just came off as what we had kind of heard, you know, a really mature leader. His mind is in the right place. And, you know, this linebacker room, you've got Damone Clark, Micah Baskerville, who's playing his best football from what Ed Ogeron said earlier. You've got Bug Strong. You've got Jared Small, the former walk-on, who's gotten a lot of buzz. But Mike Jones Jr., you know, you wrote up a really nice piece on him. And it just seems like he's just one of those veterans that in terms of college football experience, but being new to LSU, that at least, you know, is contributing in a big way, I think, just from his mentality and his approach. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of guys that won the national championship in 2019, but, you know, Mike Jones Jr. was on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm. He was by far and away my favorite interview of this fall camp since I've been at LSU. Like, he is an incredibly personable guy. He's a fun guy to talk to. Him going back and remembering the 2019 championship game and everything that led up to it and everything that was after it was extremely, it was just fun to watch. Like, he is a guy that I would love to interview like every single day, and I wouldn't get tired of it. And he comes there, and he was also extremely honest about what he is still learning, right? Like, he played nickel Sam type role at Clemson. He was a coverage guy. He's a really good coverage guy, but he comes over here and he wants to play in the box. Like, he wants to learn. He wants to play in the box to prepare for the next level. And I think that gives LSU a really interesting dynamic here at the linebacker position with Damone Clark, Michael Baskerville, and Mike Jones now, where Mike Jones as a coverage guy, I need to see him in a game as far in this LSU scheme, but I want to see how much they're going to ask him to cover, how much they're going to require him to blow up runs, like where they're going to use him exactly, how they're going to use him. Will they put him at nickel sometimes? Like, there's a lot of questions that I have here, but Mike Jones' talent alone is something that is going to earn him playing time here. It's just how much can he learn? How much can he adapt to the new system to get playing in the box more? You know, how can he read his run fits? There are questions I have about Mike Jones to this point without seeing him in the system. But as far as just him as a guy and him as a player goes, I think he's extremely talented, and he's extremely he's an extremely honest person and an extremely personable person. So I hope that he is farther along than I'm thinking in my head. But by the time UCLA and then those other games come around, I think he's going to be perfectly fine.
Yeah. And lastly, I want to do two things here. One, what do you think of Eli Ricks today when he declared LSU's defense, you know, best in the country? That's the ceiling. That's where they can go. What do you think of that moment? Because that was the first time we got to talk with Eli Ricks since he was a recruit. The last time I talked to Eli, I believe, was at the All-American Bowl for about 2 minutes before he went off to LSU to enroll early.
Yeah. Some people in the Zoom were like, "Oh, nice to meet you, Eli Ricks." I was like, "Damn, I didn't talk to him last year. I didn't know that." But it was interesting because the way the question was posed to him was right off of the back of a question talking about how good their secondary is, obviously with Derek and him and Cordell. And then he was like, well, the question was like, well, we also talked about how great this defensive line is, right? And so when you put those two together, like on paper, you have, let's say, a top 10 defensive line in the country, and then you have one of the best, you know, cornerback duos in the country. It's like, on paper, this thing should be amazing. There shouldn't really be any questions here. And he just kind of took the opportunity to say, yeah, we, you know, should be the best defense in the country. That's the expectation, basically. And I have no problems with them saying that, because the talent on this defense is that of a top three, four, five defense in the country. Like, this is an elite defense on paper here. It's just, as we know, on paper last year, it didn't win enough games. So a lot of this is going to be on, you know, defense coordinator Durante Jones and everyone to get on the same page and fill those holes and make capitalize on the talent they have on this defense. But I had no real problem with him saying that. I mean, maybe it'll be billboard material for UCLA, but I love it personally as a writer and as someone asking the questions. I love those type of guarantees.
Yeah. And look, I mean, if they hit their potential, it's a real chance. I don't know. It's a hard thing to do to be the number one total defense in the country. I mean, no matter where you're at these days with college football offenses, but gosh, even like top 10 would just be unbelievable. So we'll see how that goes for the potential of LSU's defense and what they actually put out on the field. But I mentioned I had two things. Matt, we're gonna put you on the spot here for just a minute. Where have you eaten?
I love it.
Where have you eaten in Baton Rouge so far? What's your favorite so far?
So I had Chimes with Shay and Sunny.
Yep.
And I had alligator for the first time, blackened alligator. It was great. And I had Boudin balls, I believe it was.
Boudin.
I'm sorry.
You'll get there.
And yeah, we'll get there. Great as well. Went to Zealand Street. Pretty good there. What else did I have? Oh man, I'm not gonna remember. I haven't had what was it, Mike Anderson's? Is that what the seafood place right is? Yeah, I gotta get that sometime soon. I had my wisdom teeth taken out like a week before I moved here. Oh, so I was like hesitant at first. And so, but you know, now I'm like what, 3-4 weeks removed from that, so I can start, you know, going crazy. And but yeah, I'm definitely gonna try this Mike Anderson's down the road somewhere. And I'm trying to remember, I've probably ate somewhere else. I just don't remember the names very well. I'm surprised I remember Zealand Street, honestly, but that was those were good. Chimes was very good.
Yeah.
And I had walk-ons, but I don't know if
that's a fall camp staple. Yeah. Fall camp staple. I that stuffed burger, if you haven't had it, check it out. And the another one I'll give you is Phil's Oyster Bar. That's old school. Kind of LSU stronghold there. And you never know who you'll run into there as well while you're eating some charbroiled oysters. That much I could tell you.
Phil's Oyster Bar.
Yep.
Got
Phil's Oyster Bar. And for our listeners out there, you can chime in on the Go247 message board with your responses to our podcast, what you thought. But also
Phil knows. I'm just going to start
a list.
A restaurant review channel. That's what I'm going to do.
There it
is. The YouTube's going to be.
Yes, yes. We got to bring it. We're all encompassing here at Go247. So, Matt, it was fun catching up about fall camp, and we'll do it again soon. For Matt Bruni, I'm Billy Embody. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Go247 podcast. Check us out wherever you listen to your podcasts and give us a follow and leave us a rating and leave us a review. We hope you guys are enjoying all the content on go247.com. Be sure to check out that 75% off deal we've got going right now. And until next time, this has been the Go247 podcast. Thanks for listening.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.